This is an encore broadcast of Streams in the Desert Live. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 2016, 75 years ago today. Pearl Harbor took place. My friends, thank you once again for joining me for the Streams in the Desert Live internet radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is A Hard Candy Country Christmas. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord, we bow down humbly, spiritually speaking, and we say thank you for the gift that you sent us at this time of year, which was your one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. My friends, he is the only Savior of the world. You will not enter into eternal life without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, which means way of escape. Lord God, we thank you for this gift. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for paying the price in the shedding of your precious and holy blood, that you would lay down your life. But when you picked it up again, when the Lord lifted you up out of the grave, when the Lord God lifted you from that grave, we were on your mind. And you said that we could have life everlasting if we would only follow and believe in you. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. We love you and praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live internet radio broadcast. As we open the show for today, I would like to say that it is going to be, as you've already seen so far, a different kind of show, such as has been the case in the last couple of weeks. It is going to be the kind of show that reminds each and every one of us that many people here at this Christmas season 2016 are having a very rough time. No, my friends, I am not speaking of those that are used as poster families for billion-dollar commercials and the such that are fashioned to promote large so-called giving to the poor and needy organizations who actually, for the most part, keep 99 cents out of every dollar that they collect for themselves. No, my friends, the families and individuals that I have come here to speak about are from every walk of life, some rich in worldly possessions, some comfortable in what once was for them a middle-class lifestyle, and some who were and are now even more so purely down in the gutter by no means of their own. Like, say, for instance, the people of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is nestled in the recesses of the Smoky Mountains, of which houses from their main street, three entrances to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, which has been billed as the most visited national park in all of the world. In 2015, they had 305.7 million people visit the park. My friends, that's due to the fact that they receive, there again, 11 million visitors a year. And it is as well noted that normally they're just over 400 or 4,000 rather person population of Gatlinburg, Tennessee can swell to over 40,000 visitors on any given night and is the same place where Monday a week ago on the 28th day of November 2016 at 6 to 7 p.m. in the evening, a frantic call went out for everyone in Gatlinburg, Tennessee to immediately evacuate. Why, you say? Because 5 days earlier, a massive fire called the Chimney's Tops Trail Fire broke out, of which no one at the time could have ever imagined would affect the people in the town of Gatlinburg. Yet, as I previously stated, it did on the 28th day of November 2016, and just one short day later, on the 29th day of November, our first piece of the day describes the finding of nothing short of a prophetic warning from the Lord God, ripped directly from the pages of his own word, known as the Bible. It as well begins a story within a story about how being raised with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life can bear fruit, of which the Lord God, in his own words, says it is how we know who does and who does not belong to him. And it is all made possible and crystal clear by the type of fruit, spiritually speaking, that a person bears. With that said, the story in our first piece is in connection with the Gatlinburg fires, of which I just spoke of. And as the show progresses, you will begin to see the story within the story play out. Our first piece was written by Travis Dorman of the Knoxville News Sentinel, dated December 1st, 2016, and is titled Dollywood Employee Finds Burnt Bible Page After Wildfires. As this piece opens, it is with a scripture taken from the very pages of the one and only true and living God's Word, as seen in the King James Version of the Bible, of which states, O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beast of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Joel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. At this point, the writer, Mr. Dorman, continues by stating, the day after the wildfires tore through Gatlinburg, damaging or destroying more than 700, of which I, my friends, have seen and read since in another place that it is 1,700 structures, killing at least 10, of which, there again, at the writing of my piece, that toll had risen to 14 people, and displacing thousands. Isaac McCord was doing his part to help out, picking up debris from the Dollywood Park grounds. Gripping his rake, he revisited a spot in Craftsman Valley as he skimmed over after his, as he had skimmed over after his co-worker, Misty Carver, quipped, "Is that the way you clean your room?" Provoked, he said he had started really getting into the nooks and crannies under a park bench when he caught a glimpse of a piece of paper lying in a puddle of water, soggy, seared, and torn in two. McCord, a University of Tennessee alumnus who now works as a human resources training coordinator for Dollywood, said he had no idea what the paper would read, but considering the circumstances, he was curious enough to pick it up. As soon as I got down on the ground, I noticed that it was a Bible verse, McCord said, in a phone conversation interview on Tuesday night. It was a puddle of water. I said, I want to take care of this the best way I can. So I gently scooped it up and carried it out the best I could. McCord, 24, sat on the bench where he found the paper and called Carver over. Their work partners, Dollywood wardrobe manager Angela Davis and employee Kimberly Moore, had left to go to the restroom, McCord said. In silence, the pair pored over the page, the edges of which were burned black, rendering many words unintelligible. But parts of the right side of the page were preserved enough to get the message across. It perfectly reflected, McCord said, the tragic natural disaster that had been thrust upon Gatlinburg and Sevier's County into the national spotlight the night before. O Lord, to thee I will cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned all the trees of the field. The page read, according to a picture of the page posted on McCord's Facebook. At first, we didn't know what part of the book it was from, McCord said on Tuesday night, but we saw bits and pieces about fire and scorching the land and how the beast groaned and roared for help. The page appeared to be from the first chapter of Joel from the King James Version of the Bible. We were like, this is unreal. This is unbelievable, McCord said. When we had both fully read it, we looked at each other, and I will never forget this moment. We both burst into tears. I was as white as a ghost, and we just prayed. There was nothing else to do. Still, to this moment, almost 4 hours after the fact, I don't have words for it. McCord posted a photo of the charred Bible page on Facebook, and 4 hours later, he was contacted by Dollywood public relations worker who told him the post had been shared more than 50,000 times. McCord said he had no idea. His Facebook page showed less than 1,000 shares. McCord wasn't a highly religious man prior to his discovery, but the fact is that he did not go to church every Sunday or read the Bible often, but he said he had a relationship with God that shapes his morals and how he treats other people. He was impacted by the discovery because he said he knows several co-workers who lost their homes in the chaotic blaze. He intends to frame the Bible page, and now he says he may re-examine the role religion plays in his life. Angela Davis, reached by phone on Tuesday night, collaborated Mr. McCord's story, saying when she returned from the restroom, she saw him with the Bible page. It was burned, brittle, wet, and in two pieces. She said Kimberly Moore also collaborated the story, recalling the same details as Davis and McCord. Misty Carver did not immediately return requests for comment. McCord said he knows people may doubt the truthfulness of his story. He emphasizes he is not an official spokesperson for Dollywood. He does not speak on behalf of the park or its employees. He just wanted to share the story to give people hope. I wanted to share this message because it brought me to tears. I wanted to share this message because I think that faith and hope is very powerful in a situation like this. There are hundreds of people that are displaced and that have lost their homes. Most of the people will cling to faith. By no means was I trying to get social recognition. I would say to anyone who wants to call it fake, call me. Please call me. It is something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And on that totally spiritual and at the same time thought-provoking note, my friends, as you ponder the just shared prophetic word of warning from the Lord God, I'll be right back after the break to begin the story within the story that I promised you would soon begin to see come to life.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the
Yes, Jesus, take the wheel and save me from this road that I am on. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, every day. Okay, my friends, we now venture into the story within the story of which is centered around not only one of America's, but the world's most beloved iconic celebrities, who was born and raised in Sevierville on Locust Ridge Road in Sevier County, which is only 14 miles away from Gatlinburg, of which is located in the same county in Tennessee. She is the same who is the creator and owner of the popular Dollywood theme park, of which the young man who found the charred Bible page in the story just shared works for. So as you can now see, it is Miss Dolly Parton that I speak of and is who our next piece reveres, which was written by Dotson Rader, a writer for the famed Parade magazine. This piece is dated December 4th, 2015, a year ago, my friends, and is titled Dolly Parton on Coat of Many Colors, Faith and Marriage. As Dotson opens this piece, it is with this observation. Looking at Dolly Parton, it's hard to believe her 70th birthday is coming up on January 19th, 2016, just over a month away. She seems too young and unchanged, too youthfully exuberant. She remains in life as she does in memory, the Dolly we have always known, the blonde bombshell with the famously top-heavy hourglass figure and the seductively girlish voice. And with her music, movies, and philanthropy, she continues to express her profound gratitude for somehow having escaped the grinding poverty of her hillbilly childhood to become one of the world's greatest stars. It was a hard life, a family with no money, she tells Parade, but we had a lot of the important stuff that money don't buy you anyway. It is the important stuff, she says, that still matters to her most. Parton grew up in a one-room cabin located on Locust Ridge Road in Tennessee in the Great Smoky Mountains. The writer states she is one of 12 children of an illiterate farmer and a hymn-singing mother. She was raised dirt poor in a large, close-knit, devoutly church-going family, of which I might add, my friends, was a devoutly Pentecostal church-going family at that. The writer continues by saying she helped her mother care for the younger siblings. Parton loved to sing hymns and play guitar, and with her family's encouragement, performed as a kid on local TV and radio programs. At age 13, she recorded her first songs and appeared on the Grand Ole Opry and met Johnny Cash, of whom I might add, my friends, was as well raised in a Pentecostal family and was openly a lover and defender of the land of Israel. In 1964, after graduating high school, she moved to Nashville to pursue her singing and songwriting career. On her first day in Music City, while washing her dirty clothes at the wishy-washy laundromat on Wedgwood Avenue, not far from Nashville's fabled Music Row, Parton met handsome 22-year-old Carl Dean. She was 18. They fell in love. They were wed in 1966 and have since never parted. In the years since they married, Parton went on to sell more than 100 million albums, receive 2 Oscar nominations, a Tony nod, and 46 Grammy nominations. In 2005, she was honored with our country's highest official arts award, the National Medal of Arts. Despite her fame and huge success in business, music, TV, and movies, Parton insists that the most important things in life are love and faith. She tries to express them through her Dollywood Foundation, named after her amusement park in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which lures around 2.5 million people and visitors annually, and also through the extraordinary work of her Imagination Library, a charity that provides free monthly books to 750,000 young children around the world. The writer continues by saying her childhood hardship and the importance of love and faith are the subject of Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors, the new family movie, which, my friends, the writer states premiered last December on NBC and was re-aired this last week on November 30th, 2016. The writer, or at this point, shall we say, the interviewer, begins to ask Ms. Parton a series of personal questions, of which the first of was, there was a great hardship in your parents' lives. Why didn't your mother just run away from it all? Where would she run, said Dolly, with that many kids? 12. Mama had nowhere to take all those kids because her own mother had a house full of kids too. In fact, my grandma's last child was the same age as my mama's firstborn. It's amazing. I have an uncle the same age as my older sister, Willa Dean. Did your parents get along? Like all families, they had their problems, their squabbles, but they stayed together all those years. Why? Daddy loved Mama and he loved his kids. Mama never loved anybody but my daddy. She married him when she was in the eighth grade. They stayed together and did the best they could. In love, what held them together? Is love what held them together, he asks. Her faith and her love for Daddy and her love for her kids, because we were part of Daddy, that's what pulled us through. Your grandfather was a preacher. Does that faith still play a role in your daily life? Listen up, my friends. She says, I ask God every day to lead me, guide me, and direct me, to take the wrong people out of my life, put the right people in. As I get older, I'm even stronger in my faith. That's one of the reasons I want to do this movie, because it goes back to family values and faith, to our depending on each other and on things that are bigger and better than us. Why is your faith so strong? Because what else have you got? I would choose to believe in God, she said, even if I knew God, if I knew there wasn't a God. I need to believe in something bigger than our, we need to believe in something bigger than ourselves, she said. Otherwise, we just become egomaniacs. If you don't have something to look forward to and lean on, it's a hard fall when bad things happen. But many young people, says the interviewer, seem uninterested in church today. Yes, she says, and that really bothers me. Why this decline in faith, he asks. She says, in this day, listen up, my friends, in this high-tech world, people have so many other things that seem more interesting than God or Christ, like another fantasy from some video game. That's one of the reasons I want to do this movie, Coat of Many Colors, because it goes back to family values and faith, to our depending on each other and one and on things that are bigger and better than us. I'd give anything, she said, if parents could have their children watch, not because it's me, but because this story really shows what life and family used to be like. Old values should matter to kids, says the interviewer. She says, I hate that kids are not in tune with any kind of spirituality. Kids just say, oh, I don't believe in all that. It bothers me, she said, that my own little nieces and nephews don't go to church like we used to, or that they don't really get taught anything. Hopefully, this movie will bring a little bit of that back if families can get the kids off their cell phones and computers long enough to sit down and watch a movie. Maybe it'll trigger something, she says. There are so many elements in the Coat of Many Colors that parents will appreciate. It's a true story. It's anti-bullying. It's a beautiful little movie. The movie Code of Many Colors is based on a song you wrote about your mother. What was she like? Asks the interviewer. Mama made you feel better about things, making life more beautiful than it really was. Even though our clothes were hand-me-downs made from scraps, she could sew anything and make it look half decent. Knowing my coat was just rags, she told me the Bible story of Joseph's coat of many colors, trying to make me feel better about my coat. Why have values changed so much since you were a kid in your many-colored coat? All this high-tech stuff is absolutely wonderful, she says, but people have become obsessed with it, so caught up in it that they have lost their way. We used to be obsessed with other things, she says. Listen up, my friends, listen very closely. We really looked forward to the future and to a life hereafter and tried to do better. What effect has the entertainment business had on our values? She says, everybody's kind of into the idol worship with all the stars. It really bothers me because I'm so much a part of that show business world. It bothers me when people just come out naked and do what they do. I wrote a song called Don't Make Me Have to Come Down There. It's about God standing on a mountain and pointing at us and saying, my children, you best beware. Don't make me have to come down there. You do great work in helping kids learn with your imagination library. How did it begin? My dad couldn't read and write, and he was very crippled by that. My daddy was very, very smart, and I thought, God, if he had had an education, I wonder what all he might have been. That's what made me want to start this program in my hometown about 20 years ago, just for the kids in our county. Then we put it all over Tennessee. Now we're all over the world, and my daddy lived long enough to see it. That's wonderful. Children get a book once a month, she says. All they have to do is sign up. It doesn't cost the parents a dime. We give away about 100 million books now, she says. From the time they're born, they get books in the mail with their little names on them. They love running to the mailbox. It's mine, mine. So it really inspires them to learn to read at a very young age. I love to read books, but I don't like reading on a screen. I'm just an old timer, she says. You were one of the first public figures, the interviewer says, to speak out in defense of AIDS victims. Is that why you established the Dollywood Foundation? We should care about one another. That's Christianity's heart and soul. Love one another as we love ourselves. It's a hard thing to do, but at least I do something. Celebrities should help, she says, because it's not about get. It's about give. And on that note, my friends, here is where it begins to get very interesting as we gain a glimpse of a story developing within the second story, which is within the first story we began with, making it now a story within a story within a story. In other words, three stories in one. I'll explain more later. As we return to the writer and interviewer, the next question to Miss Parton is, your 50th wedding anniversary is in May, to which Miss Parton answered, yeah, can you believe that? The interviewer then asks, are you planning anything special? We're trying to figure out if we're going to have a wedding, have some sort of thing at the house with some family and friends, and maybe go on another honeymoon where we went before. tell me a little bit about your husband. He seems to stay out of the public eye. I married a really good man, a guy that's completely different from me. He's not in show business. He's not resentful of any of that. He loves to hear about the things that I do. I love to hear about the things that he does. We enjoy each other's company. We get along good. He's got a great sense of humor. We've just been buddies, best buddies, and best friends, and evidently, it's working. In your long career, you've known a lot of glamorous men. What makes you stick with him? He understands me. He gets me. He's very secure within himself. He's never been jealous. It's a great compliment to me. This is his statement. Well, H-E double toothpicks, I know it's not easy out there. I'd feel less about any man that didn't fall in love with you. Laughs. At that point, the interviewer's reply is, that's endearing. Dolly then says, so that's his attitude. Because of that, I realize I'd never find that again in anybody. He loves me, and I love him. Where are you happiest? The interview asks her. I am happiest in a lot of places. I am happy when I am on stage. I'm happy when things are going great in the business. But I'm also very happy when I'm home with him and we do our little things. We have a little RV that we travel around in and we drive through these little drive-through restaurants. We sightsee all of Tennessee and Kentucky and areas that we can get home back home from at night. Sometimes we'll stay over at a Days Inn motel where we can just pull up and sneak me in. We don't care as long as the bed's clean and there's a bathroom. That's how we live. When you look back at your childhood, why is there no bitterness or anger about the poverty you suffered and about the way your family was treated? Well, we never thought about being bitter. We didn't even know we were poor until some smart aleck up and told us. We were just like every other country family. There was no rich people, or they were downtown or up in Gatlinburg. But that was like a world set apart that we did not feel was a part of us. I wrote a song once called In the Good Old Days When Times Were Bad. This kind of sums up the last question. It says, no amount of money could buy from me the memories that I have of then, but no amount of money could pay me to go back and live through it again. My friends, continuing on with our theme for today, which is the 2016 fires of Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and Miss Dolly Parton's and her Faith, of whom there again grew up a short distance away from Gatlinburg in a one-room cabin in Sevierville on Locust Ridge Road, which, as is Gatlinburg, is part of the Sevier County, brings us to our next short piece, of which was penned by Eliza Cipollone, a writer for faithzine.com, dated December 1st, 2016, and titled, Dolly Parton Brings Christ to the Voice. Country music legend sings Circle of Love on primetime TV. Of which the writer begins by stating a hard, cold fact when she says, it's rare these days to hear about Jesus Christ on primetime TV, but that's exactly, she says, what Dolly Parton brought to The Voice on Tuesday night. The country music icon partnered with Jennifer Nettles and The Voice's top 10 from this season in a beautiful rendition of a very religious song, Circle of Love. The chorus of the song goes, Circle of love, halo of light, when Jesus was born on that Christmas night. And oh, what a night that holy night was when Bethlehem glowed in the circle of love. The writer continues by saying Christ, of course, is at the very heart of Christmas. Christmas season, but it is very easy, even for true believers, she says, to get caught up in the gifts, food, and celebration. She then goes on to say something very striking with a very prophetic ring to it, of which is, as we celebrate Christmas this year, it is vital for Christians to put Christ at the center of our lives. She further states, he came into the world to save mankind. As John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Miss Seep Alone says, Dolly Parton's song also highlights the salvation Christ brought to the world. Happy birthday to you, Jesus. Let us lift you up. How thankful we are for all your love. So Jesus was born, wore a crown of thorns, gave it all up just to save us. As our culture promulgates the celebration of just a simple holiday season, Dolly Parton stands up and reminds everyone that Christ, Jesus, that is, my friends, is truly at the center of Christmas or Christ's Mass. With that said, my friends, Miss Parton is as well putting her money where her mouth is by offering to each family of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, who has been burned out of house and home, $1,000 per month until they are resettled. She is as well holding a telethon on December 13th, 2016 for the people of Gatlinburg, Tennessee to raise money to help rebuild the town of which she mentioned previously as being a place of the rich when she was growing up in poverty that her and her family were not a part of. Part of her statement concerning this place called Gatlinburg, Tennessee was, quote, we were just like every other country family. There were no rich people, or they were downtown or up in Gatlinburg. But that was like a world set aside that we did not feel was a part of us. My friends, this Christmas season and every day of the year, for that fact, there are many individuals, single parents, as well as whole families who feel as if they are in a world that is isolated and inferior to the one Miss Dolly Parton spoke of. And I say, playing off of her words, that world that is set apart and is reserved not only for the rich, my friends, but for the middle class as well. For in the case of these people of whom I speak of, who are sick, lonely, isolated, and in the chains of poverty, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually as well, many of whom have no one to turn to, not even a friend or family member, need Jesus Christ as their Savior, just the same as everyone else, to gain entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. My friends, the point of today's show is that it doesn't really matter if you are rich or if you are poor in worldly possessions. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your way of escape, which is what the word Savior means, from the wrath that the Lord God himself is just about ready to pour out and allow to be poured out by way of the soon coming tyrannical open rule and reign of the Antichrist system, false prophet of Satan, who is the father of the Antichrist ruler, as well as all who have, do, and will ever live upon the face of this earth that are of an Antichrist heart and spirit. My friends, all will be lost for those who do not reserve their place in heaven now while they are among the living. By way of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ before entering into the world without end, that is soon and very soon to appear, better known as eternity. If one leaves this earth by way of death or is left behind when Jesus returns in the rapture because they never asked him, Jesus that is, to forgive them of their sins and begin to live their lives for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a life lived and spent pointing others to the eternal kingdom of God by way of a personal relationship with his, God's that is, one and only begotten Son, who is at the same time the only Savior of the world, and whose name is Jesus Christ. My friends, it is good to be a giver and a lover of people, as done unto the Lord by way of the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, as Jesus has commanded us to do, who believe in him and love him. But at the same time, we must be all in. We cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, as the old saying goes, because in the end, it won't matter how much physical food or money or any other earthly thing that you have given or done for those around you. If you haven't told them that Jesus loves, Jesus heals, Jesus saves, and Jesus is soon to return for those who love and belong to him at his appearing in the rapture, or what is as well called the catching away of the saints. My friends, we must know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for ourselves. And the first thing that the Lord God wants all to know is that the price of eternal life was paid in full by way of the precious and holy shed blood of his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ. And when they do understand that this is the case, he wants them to surrender their hearts to the Lord Jesus by asking him to forgive them of their sins. That is why the Word of God says in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, where Jesus is speaking and says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, who is Jesus Christ, might be saved." But that, my friends, is totally and solely up to you, whether you are saved or not. Because if you don't turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be doomed. But it is your choice. Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him," who is Jesus Christ, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And in John chapter 3, verses 31 through 36, John says of Jesus, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son," who is Jesus Christ, my friends, "has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son," who is Jesus Christ, my friends, "shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." My friends, as I have shared with you before many times, I do not just find things to talk to you about. But by way of the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, I investigate who and what I will speak to you about. I have said this for those of you who may have recently read that this same seemingly humble, pretty, sweet, kind, and big-hearted Dolly Parton supports the gay lifestyle, of which is outlined in this piece by Karen Managuchi, posted August 30th, 2016, and is titled, get this, my friends, Dolly Parton on how she's helped her gay family members come out. Quote, you don't need to live your life in darkness. This piece begins with Karen stating that country legend Dolly Parton is speaking out about her love for the LGBT community and fans. Growing up in the Great Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, Parton and her first said her first introduction to the gay community was unknowingly through her family. I didn't know they were at the time, she said to Pride Source with a laugh. We were just mountain people, and I did not know that at the time. I sure did not. In my early days, we did not know what gay meant. It didn't take me long to know that people were different, and that was always fine with me. Parton 70 continued. I was different too, and I embraced and accepted them, and I knew them, and I knew them well. The icon also reveals she's the go-to in her family to lend love and support when someone is opening up about their sexual identity. Later on, I did find out I have many gays and lesbians in my own family. We accept them. We embrace them, she shared. Oh, there are some in the mountains who still don't know quite what to make of it or how they should feel about it, but they're ours and they're who they are, and we know they're wonderful and they're like us, Parton said, adding, we love the fact that they are who they are and we nurture that. We don't try to make them feel separate or different. We embrace it. Parton also said that she's helping some of her loved ones in the coming out process. Actually, I've had many people through the years, she said, who I have helped to feel good about themselves. I say, you need to let people know who you are, and you need to come on out. You don't need to live your life in darkness. What's the point of that, she says. You're never gonna be happy. You're gonna be sick. You're not gonna be healthy if you try to suppress your feelings and who you are, she says. Not only does the singer have a massive LGBT fan base from her music, but her Pigeon Forge theme park, Dollywood, has become a big draw. I have a huge gay and lesbian following, and I'm proud of them. I love them, and I think everybody should be themselves and be allowed to be themselves, whoever they are, whatever they are, she said. Most importantly, Parton stated that the LGBT people in her life have shaped her perspective. I certainly know that the gay people I know are the most sensitive and most caring of all. I think they go through so much that they have to live with their feelings on their sleeve, she concluded, adding, they've had to go through so much that I think they're very emotional and tenderhearted and more open to feelings. So I've just learned the same things, and I try to learn from everybody. I know they're good people, and I've tried to learn from that as well. Most of the gays I know just want to make the world more beautiful, like I do. My friends, contrary to popular belief, listen to me if you've never listened to me before or ever listened to me again. Just listen this one time if that's all you will. Contrary to popular belief, what you have just heard cannot be the words and actions of a Christian. A person cannot sing about Jesus on The Voice in 2016 when they have been voicing support for the homosexual lifestyle for years. For it just shows that in reality, they do not have a personal relationship in good or right standing with the only Savior of the world, who is none other than Jesus Christ. And for them to think that they do is a deception sent from the halls of hell by Satan himself in hopes of stealing their very soul and the souls of the ones they say shouldn't live their lives in darkness. For my friends, that is what all of them will indeed do for all eternity if they do not turn their lives completely over to the Lord Jesus Christ before they take their last breath here upon this earth. My friends, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't have to tell you this. I have people in my family that are the same. I don't not love the person. I just hate the sin because it comes against everything that God stands for. He did not create people this way. They are not born this way. They are brainwashed into this way. And something very devastating, most likely, has happened in their lives for them to even come out being this way in their adult lives normally is when they come out because they've been abused as children. My friends, love the person, hate the sin. The Lord God in His Word says those who don't even do the act but associate themselves with those who do will receive the same reward. People need to think about it. My friends, today is the day of salvation. Your time is quickly running out. Soon we'll be in the year of the dawning of the cashless society, 2017. I just saw on Amazon, on TV and in print, that they are now going to be opening stores beginning in 2017, early 2017, that all you have to do is swipe your phone, go in the store, pick up anything you want off the shelves, take it with you, and leave. It will be charged to your phone. That, my friends, in America, is the last straw before we become a totally cashless society. Everything else will follow into the black hole. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, today is the day to ask Him, my friends. And my friends, for those of you who do operate in the gay lifestyle, I love you as a person. I do not hate people. I hate sin. You're being duped. I cannot say it loud enough or long enough. You're being duped and you will lose your soul for all eternity. Today is the day to ask the Lord which way you should really go and wait to hear the small, still voice of His Holy Spirit to guide you. He will never lead you and guide you into darkness, but to eternal life, my friends, through the Lord Jesus Christ. With that said, my friends, I would like to pray for you. Lord God, I pray today that in my feebleness of bringing this broadcast that you have worked powerfully through the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit. I am only the conduit that comes each week with the message that you want to send to your people. Lord God, I pray that each and every one of them will bow down before you this day and ask humbly before your throne, Lord Jesus, that you would forgive them of the sins, and that they would like to know through the power and anointing and working of your Holy Spirit as to what they are supposed to be doing in their lives, because eternity and time without end is soon approaching. My friends, ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins today. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you into all truth and righteousness. Be ready, watching, and waiting for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who belong to him, love him, and walk in the ways that the word of the Lord God said will be the only ones who see him when he comes. And all those who thought that this was a grand lifestyle and everything that goes with what's going on in this world will be left here to be massacred under the power of the Antichrist, and in the end will lose their souls for all eternity. It's not worth it. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. And Lord Jesus, this is your time. You came to bring mankind out of darkness. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. With that said, my friends, it's a wrap. Shalom, shalom.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldWideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?